9:30 a.m.
You're listening to KLAV Las Vegas.
Views and opinions expressed on the following program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of the staff or management of KLAV.
This is Gambling with an Edge with Bob Dancer and Frank Nealon. Frank is the author of The Secret World of Video Poker Progressives, available at his website, ProgressiveVP.com, and is a former manager of the largest Las Vegas progressive slot team and has over 20 years of gambling experience. Bob Dancer is the best-known video poker player and writer in the country today, with more books than we can mention. Bob's won more than $1 million during a six-month period and has taught video poker at several casinos. To check out Bob's products, visit BobDancer.com. So if you're a Vegas local or are planning a trip here, this is one show you don't want to miss, because we'll be teaching you how to gamble with an edge. Now, here's Bob and Frank.
Bienvenido en Nuez. Oh, wait, that was last week. Wait, I got nothing.
We're not Cinco de Mayo again this week.
I really liked doing the Mexican accent, though. You know?
Uh-huh. What is 12? Doce? Dosa de Mayo? Is that, go ahead with Dosa de Mayo. I don't care. Good evening. Welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
I think you, you indicated to me at our square dance class that you were not entirely in agreement with my super learning for video poker system that I posted last week.
Strongly opposed to what you were saying, yes.
Strongly opposed. Well, I'd like you to voice your opposition.
Okay.
Because then I'd like to hang you with it based on new information that you don't have.
Oh, good, good. Good. Frank's one of my friends, too. The question has to do with whether unrelated scents, S-C-E-N-T-S, can help you learn, such as he wanted you to spray your Jacks Are Better strategy with some almond oil to help you learn Jacks Are Better strategy, and I thought that was a bunch of hooey. I can see that would help you if you made perhaps the straight flush draws into almond scents and the flush draws into cinnamon scents and something else into jungle gardenia or something, I don't know. And so there was some kind of a connection with the learning process, but just throwing in a scent that isn't related to it at all, I didn't think that could help you at all.
Well, so just to understand your objection, you don't dispute the fact, because, I mean, tons of scientific research has been done on the subject that smell is the strongest sense linked to memory.
Well, I don't doubt that if it's something related to smell. If you're trying to memorize the differences between oranges, a Valencia orange smells different than a Mandarin orange. And so if you're trying to learn that, then yes, the scent would be an important part of that.
Well, obviously that is superior because it's automatically linked. But I was of the impression that you could, you know, create these artificial memory linkages. Basically, the more neurons you stimulate in your brain, the easier it is to remember things. Now, this was, of course, an adaptive opinion. I mean, I read the research on smell and memory. And then I thought, well, how do we incorporate that into video poker? And the rest was simply my idea. I'm not disputing that. Now, what you don't know, though, is that starting this morning, I'm getting emails from people that have actually gone out and done it and followed my instructions to the letter. And guess what they're saying?
They're saying they hate the smell of almonds.
No, they're saying that they were able to flawlessly memorize these strategies faster than they've been ever able to memorize anything in the past.
And you think that has to do with the scents?
That would be an ad hoc proctor hoc. You know, causation does not imply correlation and vice versa. All I know is that the folks out there that are following my instruction for how to learn strategies quickly and very accurately are reporting that it's good. There's obviously no control group. There's no random studying being done here. So we can't say for sure that what I suggested is working. But here's my
point
of view.
Well, your thing included a lot more than just the sense.
It
included
it
memorizing the number of the instruction before and the number of the instruction after.
Right.
And that's part of the process.
And it is apparently working for people.
Oh, well, that's good.
But here's my opinion. Mm-hmm. What is the worst thing that can happen if you were to scent your strategy with you know, almond essence?
You would get an allergy attack.
All right, I hadn't thought of that. That is the worst thing that could happen. But let's hypothetically say that you're not allergic to the scent that you use, and that you're smart enough to know what you're allergic to.
Okay.
You're going to end up with a nice smelling strategy, and it's not going to really hurt anything.
But you have to keep it different from all your other strategies.
That is correct.
If your double bonus was smelled like peanut butter.
Yeah. What my eventual goal for this is to print, you know, to have a different strategy for each of our new sponsors, Progressives.
Uh huh.
Which we're going to be talking about soon.
Yes, we are.
And make each one very distinct so that they,
They put them all in a different room in the house so the peanut butter smell won't overrun the almond smell.
Well.
And so the garlic smell, if you don't like garlic, that would be like the Joker Wild because you hate Joker Wild anyway.
The other thing that I don't think you're considering, Bob, is you don't need help remembering strategies.
I actually need more than you think.
Scenting strategies for you is like me taking Viagra. The difference is just not noticeable.
I don't know anything about those blue pills or even what color they are. Good.
Oh, now that was a good ad lib.
We have I. Nelson Rose on today.
Indeed.
He is gambling in the law. He wrote about 25 years ago. I have been reading him in Card Player magazine and several other magazines through the year. I'm looking forward to hearing what he has to say about Black Friday, which happened 4 weeks ago tomorrow. So to have time for that, we need to get to our commercials early.
Yes, we do. Why don't you do a couple right now, and then I wanted to do a window cleaning segment.
Okay. South Point. South Point has more than 10,000 video poker games, returning more than 99%. This is more than anybody else in the world. In May, South Point is giving away a car every day. You earn drawing tickets up to a maximum of $250 per day, requiring $1,250 a coin in. And then you swipe your card, you get five more. So that's $255 total. Drawings are at 8:20. And you have until 8:30 the following night to collect. Great promotion for low rollers because if you're playing $12.50 a day, nobody can get more tickets than you. And the tickets stay in there from day to day to day to day. So this is the 12th. So if you've done it every day so far, you now have 3,060 tickets in the drum, which gives the people who do it all the time an advantage over the people who just came in and do it once or twice. Let me talk about the palms.
Well, and translated, yeah. What that promo means is Bob can't overplay you and automatically win the jackpot away from you.
Yeah, I would like to win a car. Shirley wants me to win the Celica. It's a you have a choice between a Prius and a Celica, or a Prius and a Camry. Prius and a Camry. Sorry.
Yeah, you say like to win a car like you've never done it before. How many total cars have you won in your career?
Eight.
Oh God, I'm crying.
Well, not always one. Some are. There's various ways, but it's only, and it's been. It's been almost 6 months.
Let's just move on before I get depressed.
All right. The palms. This Friday and Saturday night are the slot man swap drawings. The way it works is that they have 10 winners, but the top three get to play the slot man swap game. They get out these guys in cardboard boxes, kind of washing machine-sized boxes that look like slot machines. They were used in a cute commercial featuring George Maloof. And each one is given an envelope. And in each one, there's going to be a 1, a 2, a 3, and a 4 in the sealed envelope. So you put the slot machines in whatever order you want. And you can't do it by which one looks the cutest because they all look like slot machines. And if you get them in the right order, then the prize you win is $4,321. If you get it in the totally worst order, it's $1,234. So it's somewhere in the middle there. The average is $2,800, which is not a bad price. And they have additional prize this Sunday. It's called their $15,000 Rock and Win. So every 2 hours between 11 a.m. and 7 p.m., there's going to be a total of five drawings. And each of the drawings has 10 prizes. from the top of $750 down to $100, a total of, I added up as $3,050 each time, which sounds like it should have been $3,000. So either my arithmetic is wrong or theirs is. But you have to swipe for each drawing. So and you can start earning your tickets starting at 1 minute after midnight Friday night. So it's Saturday morning all day. So the interesting thing about this is if you play before 6:45 p.m. Saturday for the Sunday drawing, then your tickets also count for the Saturday night slot man swap drawing. If you play after 7 o'clock Saturday night for the drawing, then it counts for next week's two drawings. Now, doubling up on drawings is one version of gambling with an edge. And so if it makes sense to play for a drawing, then it probably makes sense to play for double drawings for the same amount of play. So that's one of the keys for gambling with an edge.
It might interest you to know, Bob, that I know a drawing pro.
A drawing pro.
Yes. I'm not going to. Well, it's a girl, and I'm not going to use her name, but she knows who she is. She's actually called in and won tickets, I think, on the show before. All she does is free giveaways and drawings. Take a wild guess at what her yearly income is.
Well, I assume she's Asian, and she plays at the Palms. I don't know. She
45,000 a year on free giveaways and drawings, and I'm talking about supermarkets and online stuff, and she does game shows and all sorts of weird things. I see we have our guest on, huh? All right. Did you want to get any more commercials out of the way? Then?
Well, not any more commercials, but I'd like to finish with the Palms. May I do that?
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right. They have something they call a slot emporium. It's located in the number 2 poker room. We used to have 2 poker rooms, and the one on the right was kind of the overflow, and now it is a slot emporium. So there's a number of machines there, video poker and slot machines. And on the top of each of the machines is a picture of some kind of gift, from jewelry to money to all kinds of stuff. There's video poker machines there. And they're quarter machines. And the best game, percentage-wise, is 9-6 double-double bonus, which is round numbers, a 99% game before you include the slot club and other benefits. When you get the top prize, which in video poker means royal flush, then you get whatever prize is shown on top of the machine. They have, there's some decent prizes. There's an Xbox 360 on one. There's a Coach handbag. And I suspect I would go for the one with $200 bills showing. Now, an extra $200 for a royal flush on quarters, there are better games in the casino. However, there are players who like playing quarter, 9-6, double-double. And if you are one of them, then playing in the slot emporium is better than playing outside of the slot emporium, because when you do hit that royal, you get the extra $200. So
that's like 0.5% almost.
Yeah, it's closer to 0.4, but yes. So including this, the drawings and everything, it's not a bad deal. It is not a huge house advantage, and you get to play with people playing slot machines or going for jewelry and stuff. Let me talk about Professor Rose.
All right.
Professor I. Nelson Rose is distinguished senior professor at Whittier Law School and visiting professor at the University of Macau, an internationally known scholar, author, and public speaker, and is recognized as one of the world's leading experts on gaming law. Professor Rose is best known for his internationally syndicated column and his 1986 landmark book, Gambling in the Law. He is co-author of Internet Gaming Law, first and second editions, Blackjack in the Law, and the first case book on the subject called Gaming Law, Cases and Materials. Professor Rose is co-editor-in-chief of the Gaming Law Review and Economics. He often acts as a consultant and expert witness for players, governments, and the gaming industry. Professor Rose, welcome to Gambling with an Edge.
Thank you for inviting me.
It's a pleasure to have you here. Let's get into it right away. Black Friday, which was 4 weeks ago tomorrow, the U.S. government moved against 3 separate online poker sites. Simplified for laymen, what happened and why?
Well, they went after the principals. Interestingly, they actually did not name the companies as defendants, but they filed criminal charges, major federal felonies, against 11 individuals, the founders and principals of the three biggest sites that were still taking money bets from the U.S., also some of their payment processors, and even an official and part owner of a bank in Utah who apparently was part of the scheme for, they call it money laundering and bank fraud, asked for $3 billion in fines. There's a civil suit as well. The Department of Justice seized the .com names around the world, PokerStars and the others, and also a lot of bank accounts everywhere in the world, even Panama. So the interesting thing is that they almost all the charges still revolve around the question of internet poker being illegal, and they.
Mm-hmm.
For something to be illegal, you got to find a statute. And so you can have a federal law, but the federal law almost always says it has to violate a state law or some other law.
Uh-huh.
So the only state law, the only real anti-gambling statute that they mention is a couple of New York misdemeanor statutes that make gambling misdemeanors in the state of New York. And they're trying to stretch that out to, you know, grab bank accounts in Panama. So the one thing that was really the worst thing for the operators was there's an allegation in there, which if true, is really truly bank fraud, which was that they paid $10 million, bought 30% of a bank in Utah, and this bank is so small that the part owner of the bank, an officer, asked for $20,000 for his bonus, which really looks like a bribe. I mean, imagine asking for $20,000 from major poker sites around the world. I mean,
that
you know,
sounds
if
like such
facts,
a small.
They would have asked for $20 million.
Yeah, the Utah is just this hotbed of gambling that that we're really worried about here.
And that really is strange. I mean, if the allegations are true, then they got themselves into this mess themselves. I mean, you don't go and bribe a banker in Utah of all states. And apparently this all relates back to last April when these same poker sites apparently turned in a guy named Daniel Zvetkov, who was a payment processor and maybe allegedly embezzled $100 million. And they turned him into the feds. Well, of course, he either cut a deal or would seek revenge, and they kept the same systems in place.
Hmm.
So took a year. They put the indictments together, and they were able to find three people in the U.S. they could grab right away. And obviously, it makes it real difficult for players to know, well, you know, what are they going to do? Could they even get their money back?
That is the question. Do you think generally players have been able to get their money back? Would you?
Yeah,
think?
What's happening is the – the operators are kind of splitting into there's three of them, as you mentioned. You've got PokerStars, where the money is set aside. They've got licenses in Alderney, France, Italy. They have to protect. They want to get back into the U.S. someday. So they're giving the players their now that the Department of Justice released the money and the websites again, because I think they realize they. The Department of Justice way overstepped its boundaries, and this is a horrible PR mistake for them. But PokerStars is giving people money back.
What you're talking about right now actually ties in with a listener question that we got from VP Free. James asks, should someone who has been a modest winner over the last 5 years or so on PokerStars be worried about an audit after the deal struck between DOJ and the poker site?
A modest winner, probably not. But my guess is that anybody who gets their money back, they will, in fact, want the Social Security number or whatever information they can get to see if taxes had been paid. So anybody who is a big winner should immediately
file an amended return.
Right, get a tax, file an amended return, and just make sure, okay, pay and the taxes and you won't end up getting in big trouble.
The follow-up question is, do you also think that requesting your frozen funds from PokerStars would make an audit more likely?
No, I don't think it makes any difference. They'll just simply, there's so many, I mean, you're dealing with hundreds of thousands of people, that they're going to simply look over the numbers and run a the feds will run a fast computer check to see if these names and people had filed tax returns.
Mr.
If you don't ask for your money back, you probably won't be audited. On the other hand, that means you won't get your money back.
I would risk an audit.
I know you're an expert on the law, but just to step away from that for a moment, illegality aside, do you think these folks that have been charged have done anything wrong? I mean, wrong from a moral point of view.
Well, I think they were certainly naive to think that you could get away with the exact same systems in place that you already turned in a guy on, and that you, if there really was bribery, you know, that's wrong. The other bank fraud charges, this is an interesting exercise in both law and morality. The claim is that the payment processors and the operators defrauded the banks. Well, they defrauded the banks by tricking them by saying this was dog food and jewelry, not online poker. They tricked the banks into making millions of dollars that the banks didn't want to make. Okay, but they made millions and millions of dollars, and they never were fined, and they never have faced any civil or criminal penalties whatsoever. So, I don't know, is it immoral to trick somebody into making millions of dollars? And then, you know, the big question of internet poker, operating legitimate poker sites it's hard for me to find out why that would be something, you know, morally wrong.
But it is now officially illegal.
No, it's not. That's going to be a major problem here, is that they didn't use the Wire Act, which is the major federal statute, the major federal anti-gambling statute. And the reason they didn't use it is because a court of appeals has a published decision saying the Wire Act is limited to bets on horse races and sports events. So there is no federal statute out there that makes gambling poker, for example, illegal. They have to use the organized crime statutes, which say if you're a big organization and you violate state anti-gambling laws, then it's a federal crime. Well, the state anti-gambling laws aren't so great either. I mean, it's not clear that this New York statute reaches beyond the borders of its state.
This is clear as mud.
And maybe it's not even gambling. Maybe poker is not enough chance in it to be gambling under New York state.
You think it might be a game of skill?
It's up to each individual state to decide. And there certainly have been a couple judges who have now said, hey, poker is not gambling.
It should be a game of skill.
It should be.
It is.
Honestly, I've actually given a legal opinion that if the courts and the attorneys general were honest in applying the tests that are out there, poker, certainly a poker tournament where you don't just walk up and get dealt a single hand, should be declared to be predominantly skill.
And what I find amazing, though, is that they get, you know, folks actually get to decide whether something is skillful or not. And, of course, their decision is really meaningless to the reality. Are you familiar with the ruling about 100 years ago that tomatoes were a vegetable?
Oh, yeah. And the
because they wanted to tax it, so they said tomatoes are a vegetable.
They are a vegetable, right.
Well, they're not, you know.
Yeah, I know. Well, actually, the one I always use is Congress put a tax on the import of fruit trees, only they put accidentally a comma. And for 30 years, it was all fruits and trees were not allowed to be imported to the United States. And then somebody actually went and looked and said, no, it was supposed to be fruit trees, not fruit on all fruits and all trees. But this thing about interesting thing about poker is there's more and more studies. Like, here's the way the judges get rid of the problem. When they want to rule that poker is a game of chance, they say an amateur can walk up, get dealt a royal flush, and beat a professional. Well, nobody plays poker with a single hand. But I've always told people, okay, look, if you're going to take a test case, make it a tournament where a single hand doesn't determine the outcome. Now we're doing statistical studies that show, and I don't remember the number, it may have been as much as like 60% of all the poker in tournaments, you never see the winning hand. You literally don't see what the cards are because people fold. Well, then how can you say it's the cards that determine who the winner is?
Well, they should watch on TV. They always show the cards on TV.
Well, I think my point is they can say whatever they want to. If they can call tomatoes a vegetable, then...
Right, right. Or what California did is they simply say poker is a controlled game, period. Doesn't matter whether it's skill or chance. They simply declare it. There are judges who say any game played with cards is a game of chance. California Supreme Court has said, actually ruled that bridge is not a game of chance. So, yeah, I mean, individual judges, individual courts. But the other thing that's happening is that the three operators are kind of going different ways, where PokerStars is letting the players get their money back. Full Tilt seems to be having some money problems and on getting the money back, although I would hope that they will. But Absolute Poker is the one that is licensed by the Kahnawake Mohawks in Quebec, are taking the position, well, they still can take players from the U.S., and they're not really interested in talking settlement. But that also means the Department of Justice isn't interested in letting them give their money back to players. So it's gotten to be – it's a real mess, and it's –
Now the biggest
problem is it's they're trying to regulate by prohibition. This is a war of intimidation to scare everybody.
Has that ever worked for anything in the past?
Sure.
Well, it's succeeding right now. It's very hard to it's hard to find a site you trust. It's hard to get your money over there. It's which actually made it harder for the professionals to get suckers who decide at 3 o'clock in the morning they can't sleep and they'll pick up their credit card and go online. But it's more and more difficult to play poker on the internet or any form of gambling. But it's not going away. This is prohibition. You raid a speakeasy and arrest a bootlegger, you're not going to get rid. You're not stopping people from drinking. So it's just harder now. The new operators have no connection with the United States. They don't even tell you what country they're in.
I think Frank Herbert said the fastest way to reinforce a behavior in society is to make it illegal.
Yeah, I don't quite believe that. I mean, if you put a stop sign in the middle of the desert, you'll see a lot of people stop, and they look both ways, even though there's clearly nobody around. I don't believe in the forbidden fruit idea that more people are attracted. I think if you legalize it, you do get more people. Hmm. But if you outlaw something that people want, there will be businesses and organizations that will set up to fulfill that demand. And by definition, they're criminal. So you create organized crime. Hmm. Modern organized crime was created by prohibition in the 1920s and 30s.
If you put on your crystal ball and your hat with the beanie on it, how is this all going to turn out? What's your best guess?
Well, for the operators who were seized here, who were arrested, are in big trouble. I mean, the bank fraud charge alone carries 30 years in prison. So they've got to cut deals. They're going to plead guilty to felonies and serve a few years in prison. For the operators, it's a different situation. There's no good extradition treaty, and particularly if they stay in the very country that licensed them, that you're never going to, no country is going to extradite somebody to stand trial for the very thing that they were licensed to do. So the Department of Justice can't grab these guys. On the other hand, they want to get rid of this. They got to be worried about traveling. They got to be worried they might lose their licenses in Europe. There are some precedents now. A few $100 million will pass hands. The problem is that can they plead guilty and not lose their European licenses? And the prosecutors are going to want guilty pleas. Meanwhile, I don't think this will have any effect on legalization. In Congress, nothing's going to happen anyway. I mean, the Republicans have the House of Representatives and were rewarded for becoming the party of no. So we're not going to get any legislation of any type for the next 2 years. And the states, on the other hand, are desperate for money. And California is so desperate that, well, we voted in November on whether to legalize marijuana for taxes. If you're talking about legalizing pot, who cares about internet poker? So it'll probably be on the ballot in New Jersey in November. The other states that are very active.
It's close to happening in Nevada.
We got Florida and Iowa. And then in Nevada, you got a bill that, well, you've already got it legal in Nevada. There's two laws that were passed. One of them more than 10 years ago that says internet gambling is legal by Nevada licensees. And there's now a bill that tells the regulators issue regulations about poker so that when it's made legal, you'll be ready to go.
So let me see if I get this straight. They are probably going to end up serving time and they are guilty of something, but it's not having run an online poker site that they're really being charged for.
The ones who are here are the ones who are going to serve time. They may plead guilty to illegal gambling so that the prosecutors can say, hey, we got them. They pled guilty to gambling. But no, it's the bank fraud.
It's the bank fraud that's the real problem. Does that mean that new sites could pop up?
New sites are popping up. Yeah, I mean, the sites that are up and operating are doing quite well, including the ones that are still taking bets from the U.S., and new sites will pop up. The only question is, you know, players have been burned before, so they want to make sure that the money processor, the payment processor is okay and the site is okay. But so it takes a while to establish, you know, your name, that you're an honest site.
But if you are an honest site, and you, like for sports betting, say Bodog, who is a respected site for sports betting, can they still take bets from Americans?
In fact, the interesting thing is the sports betting sites are – sports betting is the one form of gambling that clearly does violate federal law, the Wire Act. If there was any way to get those operators from Costa Rica, the U.S. would be doing it. But they can't. So they – and the further away they are from the United States – I mean – I saw a guy who said he was licensed by South Africa on the internet at the very time I was talking to South Africa, advising them on whether or not they should start issuing licenses.
My mom's clearly, from South Africa.
Huh? Yeah, but he's clearly – nobody knows even – I mean, he clearly wasn't licensed by South Africa since they weren't giving licenses, but he also clearly wasn't even from South Africa. You know, there's no editor on the internet. You can simply say you're licensed. And how is the U.S. going to find these people? And if they do find them, how are they going to do anything if they're sitting in another country?
Good questions.
You certainly can say anything you want on the internet. I was almost scammed today by somebody claiming to be Mickey Krim and wanting me to send him money in London. So.
Yes, don't send anybody money. Well, wait a minute. That's this. Now we're talking about the poker. Well, I've always advised players never put much money in any one site. Or, you know, payment processor or anything like that, because in case it gets seized, even if it's legal, it still could take years to unwind. One thing that has to be made very clear, by the way, is there is no federal law against making bets. Even if you take a phone and call an illegal sports bookie in another state, the bookie's breaking a lot of laws. The player, the bettor, is not breaking any federal law. In half the states, there's ancient laws on the books that might apply, but they're never used against online poker players. I've never found anyone arrested for you know, gambling on the internet. The biggest worry is, are you going to get your money?
If players were running out of time, if players wanted to contact you or read some of your articles or consult you professionally, how would they get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, thank you. I've got my website, gamblingandthelaw.com, and I've actually got started a blog, and I'm getting tens of thousands of hits on it, which is really kind of, that's amazing. Yeah, the internet is quite something. The best way to reach me is through the website, www.gamblingandthelaw.com, and they can also write me, and they can also just look at all the articles that I've, and the blogs that I've written about the subject. And if I can be of any help, let me know.
We don't have time. I wanted to get into your third wave of gambling theory. Yeah. I thought that was fascinating. And so we're going to have you on again sometime with your permission, and we're going to talk about the third wave of gambling.
Absolutely.
And actually, you know, we really focused on this online poker stuff, which is kind of outside my privy. I've never done online poker, but I don't know if you know, I was involved in progressive team gambling here in Las Vegas. And what we did I was manager of a large slot team. What we did was completely legal.
Mm-hmm.
Though that was actually something we like to keep, hidden, because the perception that it was illegal, it kept other people from doing it.
Yeah.
And I'd be talking to a friend and they'd say, shh, careful what you're saying. There's a security guard right behind me. And I would, of course, you know, I was actually required, to go, oh yeah, you're right. And try to be quiet, even though I knew what I was doing was perfectly fine.
It was illegal. Right, right.
You know, as a matter of fact, in that one instance, this has really happened. The security guard that they were hushing me around, I used to have drinks with after work every night.
I know. I worked with Ken Houston. I'm actually disguised. I think he called me a Nevada professor. I wrote a book on blackjack and the law, co-authored it, which talks about the card counters. And obviously, card counting should be legal, maybe. Peeking at the undercard with a hidden camera isn't that's not legal. You know, so
we would very much like to get Kenny Houston on our show, and we would if he were alive.
If he were alive, I know.
So anyway, I got a lot of questions for you, related to casinos, progressive play, how casinos racially profile, a bunch of stuff. But we will save that for the next time, and I certainly hope doesn't come too long from now.
Anytime, let me know, and I'll be on the show.
Thank you very much, Professor.
Great. You were awesome. Thank you.
I'm Nelson Rose.
Thank you. Thanks a lot.
All right. Have a great day.
That was informative.
More than he's such a good talker, too.
Yeah, he's done a lot of talking. He's an authority on legal matters, and he's practiced speaking, and he made it so even we can understand it.
Next, if he's on the show again, I'm just going to come in for like the first 2 minutes, ask a question, leave, and then come back when the show's over.
Oh, wow. Good. All right.
You don't have to do anything with him on there. All right.
We have two more commercials, and the last one's going to take a while.
All right.
Because the last one's new. So we'll get to the shorter commercial, Silverton. Every Friday in May, the Silverton is holding a 7 p.m. drawing where 10 winners receive a total of $10,000 in cash or free play. We could go... I got $1,000 in that. I thought that was pretty cool. I'm not going to be in tomorrow night's drawing, so knock yourself out. But next week I might be back again. So try to win tomorrow and let me win in next Friday. Tickets for the drawing are good only during the week they're earned. There's a grand prize drawing, however, on 9 p.m. on May 27th. So all tickets earned all month are going to be in the barrel for the grand prize drawing. The top prize is $37,500 towards a new Mercedes, or if you want $30,000 in cash or free play, you can have that instead. There's also going to be four $1,000 cash or free play awards at the final drawing. Each day, in addition, there's an automotive prize that's awarded if you want it. For the 7 days beginning the Sunday, 500 points, which costs $500 on most machines, will get you your choice between an emergency hammer, which they say will knock out the windshield if you're caught inside a car underwater or something, or a no-slip dashboard valet. On the other days of the month, which includes before Sunday and after up until the 28th, 1,000 points will get you your choice of an emergency roadside kit or a trunk organizer.
It works. I tested it.
The breaking out of the windshield?
Uh-huh.
Oh, yeah. Good.
On a derelict car, I tested it. It's really fun, actually, to do.
Did you get arrested for breaking and entering on a car?
No. It was, I did it with permission. I said, hey, could I break? I want to try this thing. And you just go, tap, boom, and it just shatters. It's amazing.
Well, that's good, I guess. Good thing you got permission. We got a new sponsor.
Indeed.
And this new sponsor is the M Resort Spa and
Casino.
The
M.
So as you if you type it in on it's the M Casino, which looks like them casino, which is different than the us casino. So it's the them casino. I just thought that's kind of weird. But anyway, as you probably know, this is located at the southern edge of the Las Vegas Valley, and it's along the adjacent to the 15 freeway. Frank and I were asked to come up with a way to create more positive progressives in Las Vegas. Frank designed a strange one. It was similar to one that was used to be at Barley's in Henderson, but it's different in a number of critical ways. Frank asked me which casino we should try to get this into. Frank is pretty good at designing things. I'm better at the marketing angle, so neither one of us could have done this without the other.
I'd like to disagree. You're a lot better at the marketing side of things.
For a variety of reasons, I suggested the M. I felt they were in need of a good video poker promotion, and this seemed to fit the bill. The price to the M was that they would become sponsors of the radio program. And we twisted our arm a little bit, we ganged up on them, and they said yes. So I wrote at length about how the progressives work in this week's column on LVA.com. If you haven't seen it, you can check it out at bobdancer.com under the archive articles, and you'll see it. The progressives are built around 8 rather tight video poker games, 96.5% average percent, but it has a 4% meter. This 4% meter, though, goes 0.5% to each of the 8 games.
4% is huge.
4% is bigger than huge. I think it's humongous. That's bigger than huge, by the way. So we regularly expect the games to have 12,000 coin royals or 14,000 coin royals or 16,000 coin royals on maybe more than one game. And the players who are playing the one with the biggest royal, they're putting money into the ones with smaller royals because so 0.5% goes to each of the other 8 royals. So the money you're adding, 7/8 of it goes to the other games. So the games are going to be found for both quarters and dollars. There were a number of naysayers on VP Free when the article was published. One guy in particular was rather adamant that he couldn't understand how games could almost always return more than 100%. And the casino will still make money. He kind of thought I was being logically dishonest or performing some kind of voodoo mathematics. And he figured I was trying to squeeze money out of players and out of the casino both. And he thinks I'm a rascal.
I just objected to it because he thought you did all this when, in fact, I created the darn thing.
Well, I did write it. It is a partnership, but there's different sorts. The technical stuff was Frank's invention, the getting it out there. And I don't know that Frank could have gotten it in the casinos without my invention.
No, I'm sure I couldn't have.
I could not have thought of it without him. So there was definitely a symbiotic relationship then. So the fact is we're all used to casinos offering 100% games and still making money on them. 10-7 double bonus is found in lots of different casinos, for example. They make money from player errors, including betting 1, 2, 3, or 4 coins. The same's going to be true here, only more so, because they're 8 separate games.
And they're all different strategies.
Yeah, getting competent on 8 separate games is not a trivial matter. And the games are relatively unusual. So it's deuces wild, but it's the 16-13 deuces wild.
Which is completely different from all other strategies. Yeah,
it's more related to full pay deuces than NSU, simply because the full house flush straight, is the 3-2-2-1 as opposed to NSU, which is a 4-4-3-2-1. But so the strategy is more similar to the full pay than it is to the NSU. But it's still quite a bit different. And have you studied these with a progressive value of 12,000? Most of you haven't, because there was no reason to do it. Now,
Just the fact that they'd be willing to put in a game where if you did play flawlessly, you'd have over 100% return, I think is just so nice. I mean, they really impressed me.
I'm glad they're doing it. I hope it works well for them.
And saying that, you know, that it's hard to play 8 different strategies and it's going to be hard to play perfectly. Well, it should be. People that you know, are willing to put out the effort should make money, and those that aren't willing to put out the effort shouldn't. I don't see any problem with that.
Okay, and there's going to be some luck involved. It's not that the ones who know it the best are necessarily going to do the best. Exactly when that royal hits is largely a matter of luck. Over time, you kind of make your own luck, and but there will be some beginners who get dealt royals. And
they'll be bigger than anything else they can find in town.
Yeah, and there's some people, even they're non-experts, they're going to see a $14,000 royal, and they go, let me have a piece of that. So Frank and I decided to help you do it. We're going to be publishing a strategy a week for this. Starting next Thursday, we're going to have one. Have we worked out which one's going to be first?
No, I really haven't. If people want to send emails to gamblingwithanedge @gmail.com, I will be happy to do the one that people ask for first.
Tell you what, let's do the deuces first so we know what we're doing. And the one we're going to do second is the one that's going to be the top vote getter over the next week.
You want to do the deuces first?
Yeah.
Well, that's really cool. I already have one.
Good. I like this. All right.
I have one from about 15 years ago.
Okay. So Frank's going to do it in his notation, which I find undecipherable. I'm going to put it in my notation, which Frank isn't real fond of.
No, I love your notation.
So, and so it'll be out there on the webpage.
Your notation is completely logical and fine. It's everything else about you I don't like, Bob.
Okay, good. So, I'm not sure where to go with that.
Gotcha.
So anyway, this particular progressive, to make it work, it requires certain mechanical and electronic features that other ones don't. So the parts are supposed to be in on Monday, and the slot director thinks it's going to be up early next week. So it should be up and going before our next show. We're going to post on VP Free when it is up and going. And we'll talk regularly about how it's going to work.
And I want people to know, you know, I was requested by the people on VP Free. They asked me, can you do anything to try to get back faster progressives and more interesting progressives that have high jackpots like they used to be? It used to be common to find 2%, you know. Back in Las Vegas in the late 80s, there were 3% meters running around. I think the last one died in 1994. And that was the Hilton had a 3% dollar. It had 2% on the front meter and a backup meter with 1%.
There were still some high meters in Lake Tahoe at Harvey's.
That's correct. At Lake Tahoe and Harvey's until the early 2000s, they had a 4.5% 5-6 dollar, which is actually worse than any of the games we have on here. But that thing was monstrous. We used to refer to it as the great throbbing bankroll generator.
But it had multiple progressives. It had it on the certain...
It also had the problems of a standard progressive. It would get real high, and then it would get real low, and no one would play for a while. And this one doesn't have that. So anyway, people asked, can you bring this back? I happened to be running, you know, through this casino, and I saw this, and I thought, this is a great idea if it's done right. And the way they were doing it, they weren't doing it right. But I didn't really completely – it wasn't a completely original idea, A. And two, the biggest thing that made me think that this was pitchable – to the casino was just that. It's pitchability. It's something that's good for the casino and it's good for the player. You know, we can't be selling ideas to casinos that are going to be bad for the casino. And I don't think it's... And there are some people that are asking me to do that. You know, well, why don't you talk them into doing this?
Yeah, put NSU out there with the 6% meter. Yeah, let's do that.
I had an email yesterday asked me to bring back 5-9 deuces deluxe. You know... That's full pay deuces wild with the extra pay on a natural straight flush.
Uh-huh. And a slot club and a senior promotion. And
yeah, and I said, I can't do that. I can't go to a casino and ask them to put in something that's going to be negative, that strongly negative for them. This is they're making money on your mistakes. And that is a very enlightened, as far as I'm concerned, opinion. And this is a sellable idea. Now, if anybody out there has another idea for something that we could pitch to a casino, send us an email. We'll look it over and see what we can do. But you know, it's got to be sellable to a casino. Otherwise, it's irrelevant to come up with the idea, or you're not going to get it in there.
We have about 5 minutes left. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about who's going to be on our shows the next couple of weeks.
Okay.
Next week, Michael Shackelford, the Wizard of Odds. And the main thing we're going to be talking about is the Easy Streets Sports website. There was this guy playing video poker. He won $46,000, and the casino didn't want to pay him. Now, it's not quite so cut and dried, because maybe he cheated, maybe he didn't, maybe he did cheat, but the casino can't prove it. Anyway, it's kind of tricky and kind of sticky. So we're going to be talking about that. If you want a heads up on that, you can go to Michael's website, wizardofodds.com. On the main page, you'll see a reference to the Easy Street Sports incident, and you can get a background on it. In 2 weeks, Stanford Wong, a very prolific writer, we're going to be talking about his casino tournament strategies. Usually, when people talk about the casino games that you can legally beat, they're talking about video poker and live poker and sports betting, including horses, and blackjack. Casino tournaments should be on that list. There are casino tournament players. That's primarily what they do. And the numbers they make are in the hundreds of thousands a year. There's a lot of money in casino tournaments. And Wong's book is considered the Bible of that. It's the first one out there. We don't have an exact date yet, but we're talking with Bill Zender, whose most recent book is Casinoology 2, which came after Casinoology. And this is advice on how casinos should operate. And as players, we want to kind of reverse engineer and understand how the players are operating, and so we can do well in that world. Finally, we're trying to browbeat Anthony Curtis to pay us a visit. Anthony publishes Las Vegas Advisor and a number of quality gambling books. He's my publisher for 2 books and 9 strategy cards, and he's never lost a word, so he's going to be on there.
Well, you all heard Bob Dancer's commercial for the M. I decided to do one, too, in song format. Here it is. Hope you like it.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that casinos around you have shown that do them high jackpots are like blood from a stone. If your bankroll to you is worth saving, then you'll need smarter playing or be cut to the bone, for the times they are changing. Come writers and gurus who prophesize with your pen, and don't think what happens now will be what happened then. The M has been brave to set the wheel in spin, and we can only hope who they're saving. For the loser now may be later to win, for the times they are a-changing. So come on, you players, both normal and pro, and don't be in a hurry, cause you might never go if you're thinking to leave when the jackpot is low. Cause there's always another one waiting for the leader now, maybe soon to go, for the times they are changing. The signage is drawn, the die it is cast. The slow progressive now is soon to be fast, as the present now will later be past. The order we're happily trading, as the first jackpot now will later be last, for the times they are a-changing.
For an archived version of tonight's show, you can visit ProgressiveVP.com and BobDancer.com. The sponsors for the show are the M, the South Point, the Palms, and Silverton Hotel and Casinos, as well as the website VideoPoker.com. Thanks for listening, and see you next Thursday night at 7 for our next rigidly scheduled period of total spontaneity.
I'm Mark.
Listen up.
And I'm Jessica.
Word up.
And we're the Jerks.
Keep it real.
We've got the Jerk Show every Tuesday through Saturday right here on KLAV AM 1230.
West Side.
Listen every day and your life will be enriched.
With 10 gigawatts of radio waves that won't behave.
Or you'll go insane.
I'm not listening to you. You're crazy.
Yeah, that too. Midnight to 3 on the Talk of Las Vegas.
I need somebody,
help,
not just anybody,
help,
you know I need someone,
help.
Help is what we're here for. I'm Frank Napoli. Join us on the Frank Napoli Real Estate Hotline with real estate, law, and mortgage information. Be current on what's happening in real estate today. Learn how to protect yourself in the current market. Call in with questions. We have the answers, Monday through Friday, 11 to 12. Be there.
Are you tired of dishonest air conditioning and heating companies? Sotelo Air prides itself on honesty and integrity. With over 40 years of experience in the Las Vegas Valley, we service all brands of equipment. Call Sotelo Air at 702-321-1073. We offer senior and military discounts on any repairs. Plus, summer's coming. Better check on that AC now. Call Sotelo Air at 702-321-1073. We want you to be comfortable this summer. Sotelo Air Conditioning and Heating, 702-321-1073.
Hello, this is Matt with Finley RV. Join me every Friday at 3 p.m. with the RVing Adventures radio show. I'll take you on a little adventure every Friday afternoon and discuss all the best places to travel with you and your RV. RVing Adventures is a way of life. If you love RVing as much as I do, then you'll tune in every Friday at 3 p.m. and let the traveling begin. The United States has so many wonderful places to get away to, and Finley RV has your vehicle to get you on the road to your next adventure. Stories, RV questions, and lots of fond memories every Friday at 3 p.m. right here on KLAV.
You already know Facebook is great for communicating with family and friends. But did you know it's also great for communicating with your favorite radio station? Search KLAV 1230 AM on Facebook to see all the great programming KLAV has to offer. And when you like us on our Facebook fan page, you're automatically entered in future contests for fabulous prizes. Like us on Facebook today and meet the KLAV host. Search KLAV 1230 AM on Facebook. Love us on radio. Like us on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter. We are KLAV 1230 AM.
Hi, this is Andrea Wasser from You're Hired, and I have some fantastic and exciting news. Monday, May 16th at 2 p.m., I'm going to have an unbelievable guest on my show, none other than Carolyn Goodman, the mayoral candidate. And on the show, You're Hired, we're going to discuss her platform for getting people jobs and bringing new industry to Las Vegas. So please join me on You're Hired for guest Carolyn Goodman on Monday, May 16th at 2 p.m.
This is Dr. Robert Earl. I'm a local dentist here in Las Vegas and have been practicing dentistry for 35 years. We want to invite you to join us every Tuesday at 2 o'clock for a new show called Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earl. We will be answering questions and talking about the latest technology in dentistry and giving you the answers to your questions about dental concerns.
Dentistry Today with Dr. Robert Earl, Tuesday afternoon at 2. A learning disability means you're finished, right? Wrong. Introducing the Never Give Up Show, brought to you by the Never Give Up Foundation, hosted by Matthew Copps. The Never Give Up Show is about letting go of your fears and breaking the shackles and stigma associated with learning disability. And life coach Matt ought to know, he himself was diagnosed with a learning disability. Now he's a motivational speaker with an advanced degree. This is powerful radio. The Never Give Up Show, Tuesday afternoon at 4.
Hi, this is Steve Crowley, our national radio program, Steve Crowley's American Scene. We're 21 years young on the air, and the real news, the good news, is that American Scene begins airing right here on KLAV AM 1230 starting Monday morning, May 16th at 10 a.m. Our programs help you survive and prosper through up and down economies. Join us for Steve Crowley's American Scene starting Monday, May 16th on KLAV, the talk of Las Vegas.
Steve Crowley's American Scene.
American
Scene. Hi there, this is Sammy Hagar here for RAD, the entertainment industry's voice for road safety. Now, style's a personal thing, and your lifestyle is your business. But if you take it on the road, it becomes everybody else's business. Please, plan ahead. Designate before you celebrate. Because friends do not let friends drive drunk.
Love us on radio, like us on Facebook, and follow us on Twitter.